Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the Pfizer First Quarter Results Analyst Teleconference. We have with us today Mr. S. Sridhar, Finance Director. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. If you should need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. S. Sridhar. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Maria. Good afternoon, everyone. At the outset, apologies for this change in schedule of the call. And really sorry for that. Welcome to the first quarter results. As you're aware, I normally start with the industry slide. The industry, as per June MAT, has grown at 15%. And with volumes at 7.6 and new introduction 6 and a price, as usual, lower at 1.4%. The MNCs at 15.7 and the Indian companies at 14.7 and Pfizer's reported at 11.6%. A good heartening feature is the new products introduction has contributed about 4.3% of the thing there. In terms of our results, as stated in our publication, the numbers are not strictly comparable versus the last year quarter, as the last year quarter's annual results as part of the numbers there. Without the annual results, we have had a soft quarter. Our pharmaceutical business revenue is up by about 4% for the quarter. We have some soft performances in four of our top products of Vicosyl, Scorex, Jellucil and Donanex. That has resulted in our little soft quarter one performance. We launched one branded generic in the quarter, which is a calcium vitamin tablet. The material consumption is slightly lower because of the animal business is not there this quarter that had a higher material cost consumption, and the sale of the costs is lower compared to the same period last quarter. The profits are also strictly uncomparable because of two things. One, we have exceptional income in terms of profit on sale transfer of our animal business. And secondly, on account of the animal business, which is there in the last year quarter. If we see the published results, we have published a decline in sale of minus 9%, expenses of minus 4%, profit operation minus 24%, and PBT of net profit after tax is about 697%. Now, if I were to just take out the animal business from our numbers to understand it better, top line for the quarter would be about 4% and the bottom would be more or less flat for the quarter. We have had some good growth in terms of branded generics. Our branded generics has grown 76% over the same period last year. We have generated close to about 14 crores of revenue for this quarter versus about 8 crores same period last year. Our global products, some of the products in the global portfolio have done well. We've grown at 16% in that category. Our detailing products, which we actively promote to doctors, have also grown well at around 10-odd%. However, it's only the Beko Corex, Dolex Jellucil, the four flagship products have grown at, actually declined slightly in the quarter. As a result, it's impacted the overall performance for the quarter. In terms of our expenditure, overall expenditure is at 96% for the quarter. The material consumption is about 33% versus last year of 35%. If I knock off the animal health part of it last year, it comes to 33%, which is fairly comparable to the current year quarter. Staff cost is around 26%, which was 24% the same period last year, so it's fairly comparable in terms of it. And other expenses are more or less in terms of 31% and 36% this year. The other operating income, basically, we have 20% increase, primarily driven by the service income we get from group companies. We support Wyeth in sales and marketing activities. That has given us about 16 crores of income. So consequently, overall, a 20% increase. The clinical trials support what we get to parent company is about 4 crores for the quarter versus 6 crores the same period last year. In terms of other income, we have grown about 14%, primarily driven by interest on bank deposits and that's what has driven the other income there. In terms of other expenditure, overall growth of about 8%, nothing major, significant movement in other expenditure line, and 8% is fairly comparable. If you look at our P&L, we managed to have a good control over our expense line. It's basically the top line which has been softened out for the quarter. If we were to get our top line growing a little faster, we would have a pretty strong profit growth. So that's all I have from a results perspective. I'm happy to take any questions. Kevin, unfortunately, is not there for the call. I'll try my level best to answer all the questions what I can. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on your touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question at this time may press star and then one. The first question is from HR Gala from Quest Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sridhar.
Hey, Mr. Gala.
Hi. Well, this quarter definitely doesn't look very rosy, as you rightly said that we had certain soft sale. How do you see broad outlook for the current fiscal?
See, when I started the year off, I said to you that ideally a market growth is what we're looking at, which will make us happy.
Okay.
Given our first quarter performance, we'll probably be slightly short. Maybe if we grow around 12 to 14%, that'll really be good for us.
Okay. Yeah. Within pharma?
Within pharma. Yeah, I'm talking only pharma.
Oh.
Because animal health is no longer comparable, so I just remember.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, as far as animal health disposal is concerned, where we have booked this income, etc.,
yeah,
and we can see the corresponding increase in the capital employed.
Yeah.
So we haven't really received any consideration, is it not? It's just shown as a receivable amount.
No, we have an investment. We have received cash.
Oh, we have received cash.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, it is basically sitting as investment, investments in that company, subsidiary company.
Okay, investment is, but have you received cash?
It was a cash transaction, yes.
Okay, okay. So in that event, how much would be our surplus cash we will have at the end of the quarter?
It's 800 crores.
How much?
800 crores.
800 crores.
800 plus.
And ICD?
ICD is not much, about 90 crores.
Okay, but then 800 crores is the amount which we had at the last quarter also, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so what has happened is the investment has gone a share capital investment, so it's investment in shares.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, 400 crores.
Okay, fine. Just last question from my side. Recently we read that Pfizer and AstraZeneca have entered into an agreement for the OTC rights for Nexium. So do you think we will have anything to do with promoting Nexium in Pfizer Limited?
The news is as fresh as to you as to us.
Yeah.
Evaluating the announcement, we'll come back to you as we understand that better.
Okay. Thank you very much and wish you all the best, Sridhar.
Thanks, Gal.
Thank you. The next question is from Ranjit Kapadia from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question relates to the this gain on sale of animal healthcare business. How much capital gain tax we have paid on that?
We haven't paid any tax as of now, Ranjit, because tax is not fully triggered off because it is still 100% subsidiary of ours.
Okay.
So, but because we intend to hive off in some time, we have made a provision for tax for this quarter.
And that is how much? At what rate?
At a capital gain tax, 20-odd%.
20?
20%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ajay.
Thank you. The next question is from Bhavin Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Ajay. How are you?
Hey, Bhavin. Very well. Thank you.
Good. I think just on a follow-up where the question got lost by the participant. You know, these four products, these flagship ones, what was the slowdown really about? Is it some inventory channel filling or something of that sort?
Okay, let me talk about it. Let me talk of one of the products called Magnex. Magnex is, like we know, I don't know, we've been following this call the last few quarters. I've been saying that the anti-infective market has slowed down for the last few quarters, and that Magnex is one of our flagship injectable anti-infective product in the segment there in the hospital business. So we are seeing the impact of the slowdown in the hospital injectable business impacting our business here. Okay, so therefore that's primarily Magnex there. If you look at the category we are present in, if you look at the OGMS trend also, the category itself has slowed down the last 2-3 quarters there.
Uh-huh.
Despite that, we are doing better than the category. And if you really look at it, Gelucil is number one product in the antacid category today. We have overtaken the nearest competition also.
Okay.
So it's basically the phase wherein, you know, the category has slowed down there. Because we had some good trade schemes last quarter. Like I said, we had a very strong growth last quarter. I told you it's not sustainable. So therefore, it's an offset. It's a consequence of a trade scheme last quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to Corex, it's been a difficult thing because the regulatory challenges on Corex has been there in about quite a few states. We believe in very strong ethical practices. So we respect the law of the land, and we have respected the guidelines given by the drug authorities, and we have gone slow in states where there's any questions being asked on our selling. So we've had, unfortunately, Corex has seen issues in about more states than what we anticipated. Magnex anti-infective, Gelucil category, and Vicosyl's because of the we had a good quarter last quarter.
Okay, Shida, but would this normalize going forward? I think this probably would stretch for some more time till we get numbers kicking in for these four.
See, when I did my budgeting for this year, because this has been struggling for the last couple of years,
uh-huh.
And if you really notice, our strategy of branded generics is, we started about 3 years back.
Correct.
For each of the four products, Corex, let's talk about three products, Gelucil, Magnex, and Vicosyl. We have branded generics or line extensions coming in to support the market changing dynamics.
Sure.
Okay. So therefore, it's going to take some time for us to really, get that into a size which is going to be significant. Now, having said that there, we are looking at, if you really look at Vicosyl, we feel there's a good potential for it to grow at tier 2 to tier 6 levels.
Okay.
We're re-looking at our marketing strategies, route-to-market strategies to say, how if metros is saturated, can I really differentiate myself at the tier 2 to tier 6 levels there? So therefore, and for anti-infective market, we are looking at supporting it with the growing molecules, branded generics, because we are very strong present in the hospitals.
Sure.
We're coming to GI. We're looking at PPIs as one of the strategy to support, use line extension of Gelucil to really get into the doctor's chamber. So we are doing a lot of activities to support it. Yes. Out of the four, Corex, obviously, we'll always come back and forth. But other three products are having a market challenges, and our marketing strategies will help the mother brand also to grow. Yes, we will have probably a soft quarters in these four products. My budgeting also indicates a single-digit growth for these four products.
Okay.
But like I said, my branded generics, my global products are growing a strong double digits. So that's how it's going to help me to achieve the 12% growth.
Got it, Shida. Thanks for that. But you probably have a lot of A&P or promotional activity surrounding these line extensions to follow, right, in the subsequent quarter. So then how do you balance the profitability part of the picture?
For us, line extensions are akin to a branded generics, okay? So therefore, whatever investment we're doing in branded generics, similar level of extension will happen there, okay? So therefore, it's not that I invest same amount of money on the mother brand and the same amount of line extension. I'm going to use the because of line extension for my selling. So the feet on the ground is going to use because of the top-toming name. So therefore, that's how we leverage our costs going forward.
Got it. I understood. Fine. Great. All the best. I'll be in the queue.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants in the conference, if you wish to ask a question at this time, you may press star and then one.
There's no more such questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, you may press star and then one. The next question is from Jaisal Shah from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to check with you, your thoughts on, how your branded generic strategy, the new products that you launched in the last 2-3 years, how that is panning out versus your expectation, how much these products are really contributing to turnover now. And second question was pertaining to the domestic regulatory landscape. If you can talk a bit about, you know, the landscape in as pertains to the regulations in marketing practices in India?
I'll answer your first question. You may have to repeat your second question later. With regard to branded generics, I think our strategy is working well. Our strategy has been more or less launch products in the portfolio or in the therapeutic area where we have core strength in. So that's one. Second, we launched close to about 40 to 50 products. We wanted to see how each one performs. Now, as we move along in outer years, it's a period of consolidation. Every product has a differentiated style and functioning market reach. So we will be picking and choosing our winners as we go along there. And more so, in relation to branded generic, which support our mother brands, we will be focusing a lot more. So that's going to be a strategy going forward. We have logged out about 14 crores of sales in this quarter, which represents roughly around 6% for this quarter. It has moved about from 4% what it was a year and a half back to about 6%. Our ambition is to move it to about 10 to 15% in the next few years. So that's our branded generic strategy. And that's going to be our forte going forward. Given that we don't have any major global products coming in, we only use branded generics to cover up our portfolio gaps. But going forward, our differentiate from the past years, we'll be picking and choosing our winners, and we're going to focus differentiated on that aspect. So, now, that's one. Now, you have to repeat your second question. I missed your second question.
Yeah, so the second question actually pertained to the domestic marketing regulation landscape.
Uh-huh.
I understand the rules may be changing a little bit. You know, and even previously there was some move about improving the marketing practices,
yeah,
as regards the incentives that are being given to doctors.
Sure.
So wanted to hear your thoughts about that.
No, it's a very good question. It's probably a hot topic today in today's world there. I just wanted to tell you that Pfizer traditionally over the many, many years have followed a very, very, very stringent marketing practices in the country. Our practices have probably been far more stricter than the laws really laid out to. And therefore, when about a couple of years back, when the Government of India changed the MCI guidelines to actually make it very stricter, it didn't really impact Pfizer because our policies were exactly in line or probably were far more stricter than the MCI what it was really maintained. So therefore, our SOPs currently are in line with the MCI guidelines and always been in line with the guidelines there. And therefore, we feel that these kind of changes are actually good for companies like us who have traditionally believed in ethical marketing practices. And we continue to believe that's a very core strength of our company here. And we do welcome these changes, and we hope that these kind of changes will bring up a uniform play in the marketplace to all the companies operating, and that will really, really bring in real science-based selling into the marketplace rather than the current practices which are there, unfortunately, in the country today. So we're hoping that these kind of guidelines. However, we just want the government to really understand that just as any other industry, we also need to coach, educate, science sell doctors. So therefore, we need to have programs which will sell our science-based programs to the doctors there. So therefore, there will be some element of doctor interaction. We cannot not have doctor interactions. And that's how companies like Pfizer will be able to differentiate ourselves from the general generic form of selling there. So government should recognize that need, and therefore, any laws framed in that regard is welcome. That's our thought on that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from HR Gala from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a question on this EBITDA margin. You said that if we were to eliminate the animal health, what would be the EBITDA margin on a like-to-like basis in this quarter?
One second. EBITDA margin like-to-like would be around... We had 25% with all the other income, finance costs, everything put together.
Yeah.
25%? Yeah.
Including
yeah.
Other income.
That's right.
Okay, but eliminating the animal health.
Yes, that's right.
And this 25%, how would relate to the, say, corresponding quarter of last year?
25 or same 25.
Oh, same 25.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Mr. Gala, do you have any further questions?
No, that's all.
Thank you. The next question is from Sudarshan Padmanabhan from HDFC. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to know, if one is looking at on the P&L side, your animal healthcare typically contributes about 12 to 13% on the top line, and I believe it's less in the bottom line. But, I mean, if one is looking at it from the balance sheet side, what is the kind of impact you can see, typically from the gross block side?
Nothing major, Sudarshan, because it's a very less capital intensive business. It's a pure, majorly a trading business. So we are not even manufacturing any of those products in-house. So therefore, there is no major change in the balance sheet side. Except receivables, to some extent, will come down because there was, my DSO should improve significantly. The DSO, so animal health was as high as 90 days. Pharma is as around 27 days. So therefore, my receivables position will improve better. My cash collection should improve better because my cash was blocked in receivables. Other than that, there's no major change in the balance sheet size.
And apart from that, how many products, from branded generics do you plan to launch this year? Considering that, you are targeting growth slightly lower than industry. Considering that you had typically 3% growth or 4% growth in the top line, which typically means that you will have to grow ahead of the industry in the forthcoming quarters to even get to about 12 or 13%.
I agree with you. And we don't have major new launches in this quarter. However, like I said, this year will be, and we actually began this exercise in the last two quarters last year of consolidating some of our launches. Some of our products are doing really well. They're going to invest a little more on those portfolio to make that a little bigger there. So we'll be launching some brand extensions in this quarter in terms of some multivitamins, etc. But it's not going to be in terms of numbers, but it's going to be in terms of fewer quantity, but a little more quality.
Thanks a lot, Andrea.
Thanks.
Thank you. Before taking the next question, we would like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from Dheeresh Pathak from Goldman Sachs Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
The transaction which happened wherein you moved the animal health division into the wholly owned subsidiary. Now, just to understand the final sale as and when it happens to Pfizer Inc., the parent company, they will happen at the similar price at which you have transferred, or the price is not fixed as of now?
Okay, so we have stated our intent that we will be selling this business to one of the Pfizer subsidiaries in India. So this has nothing to do with Pfizer Inc.'s decision, but our decision to hive off to a Pfizer Inc. subsidiary has already been taken. So the subsidiary is waiting for the approvals from FIVB and the Government of India to go ahead and acquire those shares in the subsidiary company. So that's one. We may do a top-up valuation to see, it's because it's about 4 to 5 months since we set it up. So we may do a top-up valuation, but we expect the valuation to be all of the same lines and where what we transfer out to.
Okay. And because you're giving only standalone financials, had it been consolidated, then you would not have showed this gain, right? Because it's still a wholly owned subsidiary.
Perfect. Absolutely.
And there you would show some profit from discontinued operation.
That's right.
Okay. And one other question I had was in the Corex, you mentioned some regulatory challenges pertaining to Corex alone in some states. Can you just elaborate on that?
I think, for example, the market is flooded with some codeine-based preparations. And there are different marketing practices, and we follow very strong ethical practices in terms of selling there. And so therefore, when any product with some codeine based comes in, there's always challenges from regulatory authorities to say, whom are we selling to and how much we're selling to. So those kind of questions come through, and we go out of the way to support all the inquiries which happens and give all the data points. So during that period, we go through some kind of a slackness in our purchases from the stockists.
Okay. So the other thing was, for these four molecules specifically, can you give a sense of how they grew in FY12 for the full year in FY12, if you have the numbers with you right now?
So in FY12, I had Corexin because it's growth at around 15% growth. Okay. So
this is as in your numbers, not IMS, right?
As in my numbers.
Okay.
However, If you really look at the last quarter, which I published, quarter four last year, both these were very early single-digit growth of 3 and 4%. So we did see some slowness coming in the last two quarters last year, but we had a very strong first two quarters that helped us to, you know, get into a good number for these two products in the full year. Even Jellucil, to some extent, the last two quarters saw a softness. So we saw softness coming in the last two quarters last year and continues to into this quarter here.
Okay, so just to make sure, Bikasul Corex, you're saying FY12, you saw 14-15% growth,
yeah,
in your numbers.
Yeah.
And Jellucil and Magnex, you didn't give the number. What was the FY12 number, sir? Full year FY12.
Jellucil, I think, grew around 13%, if I'm not mistaken. So Jellucil grew around 11%, and Magnex was negative.
Magnex was negative.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from HR Gala from Quest Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi. Sorry to keep on coming again.
I just left two
things to be asked. One is that our other expenditure vis-a-vis last year has gone up.
Yeah.
So any one-off item in that?
Yes. So we have entered into a new office premises, Lehman license. So there's a brokerage for that which came in this quarter. Okay.
How much is that?
That's close to about 2 crores.
Okay. Any
and
other
then,
item?
And then we added some contract field force in the first quarter, which was not there in the last quarter. So that these two put together added us to a slight increase.
So how much would be the contract field force cost in this quarter?
Roughly around 1.5 crores.
1.5 crore.
Yeah.
Okay. In continuation of that animal health business,
yeah,
as somebody rightly asked that in consolidation, you know, what will happen is the animal health sales and profit will come.
Yeah.
So how much has they done in the first quarter?
So the first quarter, there are about 31 crores of sales.
Okay.
And a profit of about 7 crores.
7?
Yeah.
Okay. At the PBIT level, the same level
that's
at
right,
which 8.68 is reported.
That's right.
Okay. 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 Fine. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants in the conference, if you wish to ask a question at this time, you may press star and then 1.
Might have no further questions. We'll close the call off.
Sure. So would you like to add a few closing comments?
Yeah. Thanks for dialing in for the quarter one. I know it's a little bit soft quarter, and I my estimate is even quarter two could be a slightly on the softer side, but hopefully we will get back into the mainstream. We are looking at strategies for these four products there. We do have strategies in place. We just need a little bit of a time to get back into the top line. We have brand extensions, we have new molecules coming in to support the main product, main thing. And more importantly, heartening is that some of our global products are doing really at double digits, but the size is a little small, but our growth is very, very heartening. So it says the strategy is working. If I can get the top four to even grow at around, you know, early double digits, that really make our performance really shoot up. So those four has led to a softer first quarter. And hopefully as we progress into in quarter three and quarter four, we will see a lot more robustness coming into play. So thank you for dialing in, and thanks for all your questions. See you all next quarter. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Pfizer, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.